Turn to with me to Philippians chapter 4, verse 9. Philippians chapter 4, verse 9. We'll look in the scripture today. Philippians chapter 4, verse 9. Notice here that Paul said to the Philippians, "Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you." Now that's a great thing because he taught them verbally and he taught them by example. You learn these things, you receive these things, you've heard these things, you've seen these things. His preaching, his life, everything was a testimony and everything was consistent. Now, you know what one of the most important words in that verse is? Philippians 4, 9. "Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace be with you, shall be with you." You know what one of the most important words in there is? Do. Do. So tonight what we want to talk about is we want to talk about the right combination of qualities in your life that would allow you to be as effective at doing what Paul said in that verse as you possibly can be in your life. But before we do, let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask Him to guide us through the study tonight so that we can benefit from it. Brother Vargas, if you'll pray for us, please. Amen. Amen. Okay, so one of the most important words here is do. Paul encouraged the Philippians to do what they had learned, do what they had received, do what they had heard, do what they had seen in Paul. Now, in order for them to do it, in order for us to do, or for you to do effectively what Paul told them to do, what he taught them to do, what he demonstrated that they should do, requires the right combination of qualities in your life, and the right combination includes these things. Number one, diligence. Number one, diligence. Now we're going to leave the text because you know the word. It's do, and the subject is the right combination. So we're going to leave that now and look at some verses of Scripture that show you the best way to get these things done. Turn to Proverbs chapter 22. Proverbs chapter 22. Proverbs chapter 22 and look at verse 29. The first thing it takes is diligence. Diligence. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 29. Proverbs 22:29 says, "Seest thou a man diligent in his business? He shall stand before kings. He shall not stand before mean men." Now, in this case, a diligent man in his business stands before kings. You know, the Lord's work, if you do it properly, is hard work. No matter what Joey may have said when he was a kid. Luann was taking the boys home. They were driving through on the way back to Orange Grove and went to Iowa Dulce or something. And some people were roofing a house on a hot Sunday afternoon, and Joey looked over there and said, "Mom, when I grow up, I want to be a preacher." She's like, "Oh, God, spoken to my child." He said, "Because I don't want to work." You know. I'll tell you, to do the Lord's work and to do it right, it takes a lot of diligence. It takes hard work. Paul said about himself when he compared himself to the other apostles, and he was saying he was an apostle born out of due time, and he was talking about the resurrection, but he said, "By the grace of God, I labored more abundantly than they all." Indicating that those guys were working hard, and by the grace of God, he was working harder. And you know his testimony, and in fact, it did take a tremendous amount of work for him to do what he did. Some people get the idea that when they volunteer to do something for the Lord, or are led by the Spirit of God, more importantly, to do something for the Lord, that, you know, you just get it done in your spare time. And it's not like that at all. If you want to do what Paul encouraged the Philippians to do and do it well, you're going to have to work at it. You're going to have to work at it. We have men that come to the Bible study on Monday nights, and there we're teaching them not only Bible, but teaching them how to teach Bible. And we give them assignments from time to time. Some of the fellows will come back to us and say, man, I've worked every single day this week when I've gotten off of work on this assignment so that I can get it done well. You know what? That shows. That shows in the quality of the work. It's not something that's put together on the way to Bible study. You're a Sunday school teacher. You know there is a difference in the lessons that you teach when you have worked and prepared and when you just try to cram it in on Sunday, on Saturday afternoon or first thing Sunday morning. You know there's a difference. And the difference is diligence, where you put a conscientious effort of hard work and thought into what you're doing and muscle into what you're doing until it is done right. Okay, that's the first thing, diligence. The right combination also includes consistency. Consistency. You're in Proverbs, just go right a little bit to the book of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 10. Ecclesiastes chapter 10, look at verse 18. Consistency. Ecclesiastes chapter 10, look at verse 18. By much slothfulness the building decayeth, and through idleness of the hands the house droppeth through. Now here's a case where there's a building that needs attention, there's a house that needs maintenance, and the fellow that occupies it is like, I'll get to it later. And he's idle in his maintenance, and what happens is the building doesn't get better, it decays, and soon it collapses. Now, we've got several structures around here, and it's amazing to me, no more than we have here, how much it takes on a regular basis just to keep everything running right. And yet you can't stop. You know how it is in your own homes or with your vehicles. Once you see a problem and detect it, if you don't address it and let it go for a little while, it just gets worse and worse. Now, consistency in the Lord's work is this. There are times when we hear some preaching and we get real encouraged to pray more, or real encouraged to memorize Scripture, or real encouraged to witness, or any number of things that you hear preached. And for just a little while after the preaching, you kind of hit that with a renewed desire, with a renewed fervency. But sure enough, after just a few weeks, or sometimes even just a few days, it goes right back to what it was before. And then what happens is this. You're called upon to quote a verse of Scripture. I mean, you're in a situation where you need to quote it. Or you're called upon to pray in urgency. Or you're called upon to witness to somebody and you feel rusty. You know what that comes from? The lack of consistency. Right now, Wimbledon is being played, which is a major tennis tournament. And one of the top players in the world in the women's bracket is a woman named Victoria Azarenka. And she is. She's one of the top players in the world. They've just completed, some of them have, round two, and she lost in round two. And you might be thinking, wow, she lost to an unseeded player? Well, she's been recovering from an injury, and so lately she has just started playing again. And here's the point. As good as she is in her natural ability, and as good as she is as an athlete in her conditioning, because she had to take off some time to recover from the injury, she hasn't been able to play as much. And as a result, in spite of the fact that she's good, she could not play well enough to beat an unseeded player. Why? She hasn't been able to be consistent in her work. Many of us live the Christian life and we're kind of on a roller coaster. We wait till the next hot sermon to really juke us up about that matter. We get on fire for it for just a little while and we go right back down to the thing we were. That slothfulness and idleness suddenly causes us to be rusty in the Lord's work. So inconsistency that affects the way an athlete plays is also mirrored in inconsistency in your work for the Lord. It will weaken you. You will not be as effective. When you read daily, when you pray daily, when you witness, often, you're just better at it. All right, here's another thing. The right combination to get the Lord's work done not only includes diligence and consistency. Speaking on consistency, like Sunday school teaching and things like that, again, if you just study once a week, you're not going to be as equipped as a student as you will be if you're studying every day or 5 days in that week. Consistency. Here's another one. Compassion. Compassion. Look with me in Mark chapter 6 at verse 34. You're very familiar with this quality in the Lord's life. But look at it again, Mark chapter 6, because there's a part of compassion that I would like to emphasize from this passage. You've seen it in other passages as well. Mark chapter 6, look at verse 34. Mark chapter 6, verse 34. All right, this is going to be before the feeding of the 5,000. Mark chapter 6, verse 34. Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was, what's the next word? Moved with compassion. It's not that he just had compassion, but it did something to him. It moved him. Was moved with compassion toward them, not away from them, because they were as sheep not having a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. All right, you're going to do much better work for the Lord out of compassion for others than you are out of a sense of duty to them. In Luke chapter 17, the Lord gives an example of a servant working for his master and then concludes by saying, when you finished your work, we're going to say to the Lord, we have been unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. And I'll tell you something. I've done a lot of things in my life out of duty. So duty's not a bad thing, particularly if you're a person that's minded that way. I agree to do it, I'm going to get it done. That's good. But your work, when it's just a duty to do, is not as good as work that's done out of love for the person for whom you're doing it. It's going to be better quality work, and so, okay, now, we don't all come equipped. I don't think any of us come equipped with compassion for others when it concerns their souls and matters like that. And so when you think about fishers of men, where we're distributing Bibles or passing out tracts or things like that, a lot of times we do that because we know the Lord has made us willing-hearted, and we go out as a sense of responsibility. This is the day, this is the hour I'm going to go. But if you really don't care about the people that you're giving Bibles to and they slam the door in your face, you just walk away and say, well, fine, go to hell if you want to and go talk to the next person. You know, and we've all done that. But the truth of the matter is, if we could just get some of that heart that the Lord had and some of that compassion, change the way that we do this work. So diligence, consistency, compassion. Here's another one. Ecclesiastes chapter 10. You say, well, we were there just a minute ago. Why didn't you deal with this while we were there? Well, I don't know. It just seemed to fit better here. Ecclesiastes chapter 10. Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 10. The next item, the next quality in the combination is wisdom. Wisdom. Ecclesiastes 10:10. If the iron be blunt and he do not whet the edge, W-H-E-T, that means to sharpen it, not to just pour fluid on it. And he do not whet the edge, then must he put to more strength. But wisdom is profitable to direct. Any of y'all ever handle a hatchet or an axe before? A knife in the kitchen? You know, you do. You have to work a lot harder when it's dull. If you can sharpen it and sharpen it properly, or in this case, whet the edge, then it just makes everything so much easier, whether you're cutting vegetables with a knife in the kitchen or cutting down a tree. And wisdom, in the same way, is profitable to direct. Here's a fellow that says, you know what, this isn't working out well this way. I need to do something in order to make this work better. So, working better for the Lord is not always a matter of working harder. Working better for the Lord, many times, is a matter of working smarter. Stepping back, sizing up the situation, saying, you know what, I can't get it done this way. Take Paul, for instance. He had a tremendous burden for the Jews, so much so that he was compelled, in spite of the warnings by the Holy Spirit, to go back down to Jerusalem and try to lead them to the Lord. He got thrown in jail. When he did, he could no longer visit the churches that he had been used to visiting in his missionary journeys. So did he just throw up his hands and say, well, I guess that's it. I'm off the hook. Can't go see them now. No, he wrote them letters. I think he did a pretty good job, because you have some of those letters, and the Lord so led Paul in that work that those letters turned out being the scripture. So in spite of his circumstances, he kept on ministering. There comes a time, and I'll tell you, I like the place where I am right now. I was just talking to somebody the other day, and he says, you know, I dreaded getting older, just a little bit older than I am. I dreaded getting older, but he said, I don't mind it so much now, because he said, I find that my mind is settled, and I have a tendency to size up situations before I get involved, and I find that those years of experience are saving me a lot of time, a lot of heartache, a lot of, you know, wasted effort and so forth like that. And the beauty in a ministry like this is that guys who have spent some time in the ministry that now have a little age behind them have young men that want to come up in the ministry, and so you get a good combination of legs and head. Workers and those that can help guide in the work. Wisdom. Very, very beneficial in getting the Lord's work done. Diligence, consistency, compassion, wisdom. Here's another one, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, look at verse 58. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. When I first got called in the ministry, I wanted to do, man. I just was like, let's go. And I find that if I had thought about some of these things ahead of time, things would have been better. Here's one, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Resolve. Really helps you. Because it's easy for us to throw in the towel. It's easy to just say, that's just more than I bit off more than I can chew there. I really don't want to do that. But when you have resolve and you know there's something that God wants you to do, you don't find yourself in a situation where you ever throw in the towel. You say, look, I've got a job to do. I need to finish my job. Jesus Christ hung on the cross. He said, it is finished. Paul came to the end of his ministry. He said, I have finished my course. He knew what it was, and he knew that he was not to stop until he'd come to the end of the thing. And resolve is a very important thing, because I'll tell you what, there are all kinds of things in the ministry that will cause you to sidetrack. And when I say ministry, I'm not just talking about full-time, I'm talking about to the extent that we all do. Resolve. We were in, where were we, Guacamole? Guadalajara? Guatemala? Guadalcanal? What do you want to do about it? That t-shirt's down there with all that kind of saying. What's up? We're down there in Guatemala, and there was a young lady that the preacher had led to the Lord a couple years ago, and in her life strayed. She got into drinking and stayed out of church and terribly backslidden. And she was there on a Wednesday night when we were there. And then confessed to the preacher afterwards, said, my life went astray. She said, I am not drinking anymore, and I will be in church on Wednesday and Sunday. Now, she's not going to be. You say, why do you say that? Because 99.9% of the time people say that, they say it because they're feeling very compelled at the moment to kind of make it all up to the preacher. And as soon as she gets away and goes back to whatever it was she was involved in, those things are going to be there again, and she's going to go through the same trouble that she went through before. Unless she is absolutely resolved. And if she's absolutely resolved, she didn't have to tell anybody. All she had to do is show up. See? Resolve. Steadfast. Unmovable. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. When we were in France recently, we went to Normandy. We had a guide, and he picked us up at the hotel, drove us down there, drove us back. We were with him for the better part of 12 hours that day. He was a good guy. I mean, he's really good to talk to and so forth, very informative and things like that. And I asked him to tell me some jokes that French tell about Americans. He was a smart man. He didn't do it, but if they do, I would really like to know them, because there's veiled truth in humor. You know that. And so I just wanted to hear it, but he didn't do it. Anyway, he said this. He said, I'm going to tell you one thing I really admire about Americans. And he said, you see it in Normandy. You see it in this invasion here. But he said, for the French, he said, if we have two or three ways of doing something, we try those two or three ways and it doesn't work, we throw up our hands and that's it. We just don't get it done. He said, you Americans, you find two or three ways to get a thing done that doesn't work, you keep going until you get it done. Now, he called that American ingenuity, and that is that you just find the solution. And I find myself saying to people when they complain about this and that, it's not working out right, I just smile and say, but there's always a solution. And there really is. You may not know what it is. You may have to work harder to find it, but there's always a solution. And if you're resolved to carry on in the very thing that God gave you to do, listen, it doesn't make any difference how impossible the task may seem. There is a way to get it done. I love what Pastor Keck said to the men when the ladies were having their fellowship during the missions conference and we were having our fellowship out there in the modular buildings. He said, a call or a burden may get you to the mission field, but they're not going to keep you there. Commitment is going to keep you there. See? So when you think about your work for the Lord, there comes a time when you say to the Lord, I'm signing up for this, that you commit to be steadfast, unmovable, and always abounding in the work that you've accepted to do. And you'll be effective, more effective. In addition to that, I'll tell you something else it takes. Turn to Proverbs chapter 19. Proverbs chapter 19 and look at verse 2. We're going to look at two scriptures there in Proverbs. Proverbs 19, verse 2. The next thing that it takes in Proverbs chapter 19, verse 2 is this. I say it takes. Another quality to combine with these other qualities in order to do what Paul told us to do is patience. Patience. Watch this. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 2. Also, that the soul be without knowledge, it is not good. And he that hasteth with his feet sinneth. He that hasteth with his feet sinneth. Look at it again in Proverbs chapter 21 and verse 5. Proverbs chapter 21 and verse 5. The thoughts of the diligent, there's that word again, tend only to plenteousness, but of everyone that is hasty, only to want. You can't be in too big a hurry. And that was where I messed up early on in the ministry, is that I wanted to see too much too soon. And may I tell you something? A tree can only grow as fast as that tree has been created by God to grow. Now, it can grow more slowly in adverse circumstances. Not enough water, not enough fertilizer, competition with other things could cause it to be stunted in its growth. But if it's a normal circumstance with plenty of water, plenty of fertilizer, good soil, all that other kind of stuff, that tree is going to grow. But it's only going to grow as fast as God has designed it to grow. You know, some of you got to see some of the oak trees that are out there in the front yard of the ranch. Those things are 105 years old or so. Maybe getting close, about 105 years old. If they were planted at the same time that house was put there. And you look at that and you go, wow, that's big. But have you ever planted an oak tree? They'll just sit there for a long time. And you go, man, is that thing even growing? You know. And it is. Likewise, when you're ministering to people, they're not going to respond as quickly as you think they should. You look in there, you're teaching kids. And that kind of thing. He's like, man, I'm teaching all this. They ought to just go from here to there right now. Well, if they're going to be here for a long time doing things for the Lord, they're going to grow at a pace. And you need to be patient with that. You know, we look back now and we talk about the days when we were all in the bunkhouse. And here we are, 14 years later, 13 years later, whatever it is. And you see this and you look at that and you think, wow. But that's When you could count every minute that was involved in that and all the circumstances that were involved in that, all the people that used to be in here that have moved off to other cities and all the circumstances of life, that's been just a very steady, continual process. You know what's wrong with a lot of ministries today? They want a great big crowd right now to help pay all the bills and make the pastor a lot of money. And they go up just as they go down just as fast as they went up. And that's not our objective. Our objective is that if for some reason God were to move you on to some other place in time than where you are now, that you get to just continue right on growing the way that you were while you were here. Steadily. Patience. Patience. Can't be in a hurry when you're doing the work for the Lord. You can't be in a hurry with souls. There was a real bad trend in soul winning among Baptist churches in that we thought you could just knock on somebody's door, talk to them about Jesus, get them to say a prayer, they'd be saved, and everything's going to be fine. They're going to go on from there. Well, I know, I remember I was on the back end of days when you could do that because there was much more voice of the Spirit of God evident in people's lives than there is today. Today, you're going to work long and hard with one soul before you even see them come to a place where they're going to trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. And you cannot be in a hurry. You cannot be in a hurry. Diligence, consistency, compassion, wisdom, resolve, patience. One more. One more. Romans chapter 14, verse 12. Romans chapter 14, verse 12. If you built the list, you might come up with just a list that looks a little different than these. These are ones that have impressed me in my life. Getting something done that God wants you to do. And we all have something to do for Him. Romans chapter 14, verse 12. The word is accountability. Accountability. Romans chapter 14, verse 12. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to the pastor. No. No, so then every one of us shall give account of himself to his wife. Yeah. That's what my version says. Now, so then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Listen, we've got some children here today because Master's Club's taking the summer off. The sooner these children can learn their accountability to God, the better they're going to be. The sooner we got college students here, and the teens are over there with Tony, the sooner that these relationships with God are between them and the Lord and their accountability is real strong with God, the better they're going to be. You and I do our work as unto the Lord. We're accountable to the Lord for the work we do here. He is the one that must be pleased with it. He has to be pleased with what we do. He has to be pleased with how we do it, regardless of how other people view it. We're too worried sometimes about, you know, I wonder if they liked it. Doesn't make any difference whether they did or not. The only one that counts is God. Accountability. Accountability. Now, that accountability is really a good thing because you know how it is. You've experienced it in your work life. I've experienced it in mine. People always work harder when the boss is around. Well, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. He's always looking. And when you are very aware of your accountability to Him and the fact that you really are going to face Him at the judgment seat of Christ, you're like, you know what? I get today to do whatever He wants me to do today. I better do the very best that I can, even though I'm tired. I'm committed to it. And so you work a little harder. You work a little better. I know a lot of churches like competition. I don't have anything against competition. Competition is kind of fun. It always stirs up a little of excitement and everything. But sometimes the competition is I've got to do this because our team has to win. And when I think about that, I think that's not really how we're supposed to do this. Our team is really the body of Christ. Our captain is really Jesus Christ. And He's ultimately the one that has to be coach at the end of the day that says, yeah, you did a good job, or no, you didn't really do so good today. And I really don't head toward the fanfare so much because, you know what, as soon as the party's over, as soon as the little competition has come to its end, guess what? Back to the way things were. Back to the way things were. So accountability is to God. The right combination then to get those things done that Paul said are those seven things that we just mentioned. And I believe those seven things are essential to doing the job well. And if you can keep those in mind, keep them before you, then on those days when you're like, you know what, I think I'm just going to pull out of this for about, you know, I just remember that rust builds up on the blade. Just remember that. Oh, I think this week I'm just going to give it half an effort. The kids won't mind. I'll give them some chocolate candy and they'll get over it. And diligence, the lack of diligence, is always going to, it's always going to be met with an inferior quality. I think one of the most important pieces in this thing, honestly, without re-preaching the whole deal, is compassion. You know, it's if God would just break our hearts for the people that broke His heart when Jesus died, you know, there'd be a better fervency in everything that we do. And you remember the rest of them because you kept notes. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we're thankful today for an opportunity to be able to come together and talk about these matters. I really do ask you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to help us with these things. I know these folks and they want to do the very best that they can. And so I pray that the scriptures you've shown them and me tonight from the Bible are ones that will really help us to do the job that you want us to do in a way that is very pleasing to you. For we ask you to do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.